Good morning, everyone. We begin in South Asia this morning, and let's review the bidding from a very, very busy weekend. First of all, the Pakistan initiative, military offensive against the Taliban is in its third day now. Right. They're attempting to fight back against the bloody attacks that took place last week. In Iran, an attack on a Revolutionary Guard station in southern Iran by presumably religious Sunni zealots, 42 people dead in that attack. And of course, in the midst of a war with the Taliban, the government in Afghanistan is fighting for its legitimacy. Get out the map, folks. Get out the map.
That's right. Connect the dots here.
From Iran all the way through Pakistan and Afghanistan, you've got an axis of instability, as Marcus Mabry talked about it on the program earlier this morning, an axis of instability related to religious tensions in Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. What does it mean for the West? What does it mean for U.S. policy? Joining us here to discuss all of this is Alex Thier, director of Afghanistan and Pakistan policy at the U.S. Institute of Peace. He's on the line from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, John.
And rejoining us, Ambassador Peter Galbraith. He was until last month the number two ranking official at the United Nations mission in Kabul. Peter, good morning again.
Good morning, John.
You know, do I have the map right? Is it fair to say this morning that we are looking at varying degrees of religious instability, ethnic tension from Iran all the way to Pakistan and Afghanistan?
John, there's nothing new about that in that part of the world. Yes, you are. It's likely that the situation in Iran is somewhat separate, but what's going on in Pakistan and Afghanistan are part and parcel of the same problem of these. It is both tribal. It is ethnic, actually the same ethnic group in Pakistan and in Afghanistan, the Pashtuns. And it certainly involves the same religious party, the Taliban, Pakistani Taliban, Afghanistan Taliban, and Al-Qaeda is in precisely the border region between those two countries.
Alex Thier, do you have an analysis of the instability that we saw over the weekend in Iran any differently? Is there something unique about the Iran situation, or are we seeing something spilling over from the Pakistan side of the border?
Well, part of the additional factor in Iran actually has to do with the Baluch ethnic group. There's a group that spans across southern Pakistan, southern Afghanistan, and southern Iran, the Baluch, who for many years, particularly in Pakistan and in Iran, have fought for greater autonomy or even independence. And so you really have this mix not only of sectarianism and the issues of the Pashtun insurgency, but you also have this sort of ethnic nationalism as well that's causing instability.
Well, so Alex Thier, director of Afghanistan and Pakistan at the U.S. Institute of Peace, and Ambassador Peter Galbraith, formerly with the United Nations in Kabul, you've both described crazy quilt of ethnic and tribal tensions in this entire region. Evaluate for me then what Rahm Emanuel said over the weekend on one of the Sunday talk shows about the possibility of a negotiated power-sharing government in Afghanistan as a solution to the current instability. Listen.
What President Karzai must do, and what I, you know, the process there, is a credible and legitimate election or result, more importantly, for the Afghan people and for that government going forward. Whether that's through a runoff, whether that's through negotiations, the process will be determined by the Afghan people. The result for us and for the president is whether, in fact, there's a credible government and a legitimate process.
Ambassador Peter Galbraith, is Rahm Emanuel suggesting that a power-sharing arrangement is an alternative to a runoff? And if so, does that open the entire can of worms that it's not simply negotiating with Hamid Karzai and Abdullah Abdullah, but you're going to have to negotiate with every tribal ethnic group in Afghanistan to form a credible government there?
I don't think you have to negotiate with every group in Afghanistan to form a credible government. The two main contenders, Karzai and Abdullah, got between them probably close to 70% of the vote. I think there's a separate problem, which is can Hamid Karzai continue as president of Afghanistan and be seen as credible by a large segment of the Afghan population? This election was so tainted with fraud, at least 1.5 million ballots were fraudulent. Maybe as many as 3 million, And now you have the Independent Election Commission, which only the head of the UN mission thought was independent. It was strictly a pro-Karzai body, and it is now rejecting the decision of the Electoral Complaints Commission, which is a body set up under Afghan law. And it, at some point, the crisis just becomes too much, certainly for international support for Afghanistan, and also, I think, for a good part of the Afghan people.
And the bar is really low. Here's Hamid Karzai speaking back in May about his, quite frankly, humble ambitions for the Afghan government, insofar as he even has any control here. Listen.
We're Afghan households, the most important of all, where Afghan households, when they go to bed at night, are sure that neither the Afghan government nor somebody else nor terrorists are going to be at their doorsteps to harass them or to take them away, that Afghan life returns to safety and security.
Alex, is there any prospect that Afghanistan can deliver on that very humble pledge, Alex Thier?
Well, I think that that is the root of the problem. When people are faced with insecurity, either because of terrorism, the insurgency, or indeed, as Hamid Karzai suggests, that their own government, which he's led for the last 8 years, is preying upon them, then they're unlikely to enjoy stability. I do believe that stability is possible in Afghanistan, but I am very happy that the White House has so forcefully recognized the fact that they need to deal with the political issues in Afghanistan, certainly before they can effectively deal with the military issues.
So, Ambassador Peter Galbraith, are you suggesting that any government that includes Hamid Karzai will not be legitimate?
I think it's going to be very difficult at this stage, after all that has happened, for Karzai to have much credibility with a significant part of the Afghan population, certainly the Tajiks, which are the second largest group, probably a part of the Hazaras, the third largest group, and even in the Pashtuns, which are the about 45% of the country, there's a lot of there's not much enthusiasm for him. Beyond that, the international effort in Afghanistan requires the idea that we're all fighting for something, and when people perceive rightly that it is a corrupt, ineffective government that has clung to power through fraud and by manipulating the rules, that is going to undermine support. And I want to come back to what Rahm Emanuel said. I think the president is exactly right to say we cannot be sending 40,000 additional troops to Afghanistan unless we have a credible partner.
All right, but that's a message for Americans. That's not a message for the Afghan people.
Yes, it is.
Right, exactly. So, but looking at Afghanistan, Alex Thier, if, as Peter Galbraith suggests, Hamid Karzai has to go and the Obama administration has the political will to actually get him off the political stage in Afghanistan, this is now an occupation. This then becomes a U.S. occupation of Afghanistan and a regime change dictated by Washington, correct?
I don't believe that Washington is going to force Hamid Karzai out. I think that the emphasis right now is trying to build some sort of unity government. I think what really concerns the Afghan people is not just the election. I think that they're bothered by the election and the fraud, but what they're really bothered by is the failure of the Karzai government, as well as the international community, to deliver on 8 years of promises to provide security and the rule of law and development. And I think that if we can begin to demonstrate that we can, in fact, provide those things, because we haven't really been trying that hard during the Bush administration, then I think that the Afghan people will come to accept the government again. So I agree with your premise, John. I think that forcing Karzai out puts us in a very dangerous situation, making us look like occupiers, and that's also not something that we can afford to become more of in Afghanistan.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Ambassador Peter Galbraith, under a minute. Final thought?
Well, first, I want to be clear, I'm not advocating that
right.
The U.S. force Obama out. I'm simply stating an analytic fact that I think Karzai is not going to have credibility, and that's why the situation is much worse. And that really does go to the domestic decision that the president makes about whether to send additional troops which, absent a credible partner, I don't think makes sense. So not a good use of our very valuable military resources.
Indeed. Ambassador Peter Galbraith, until last month, was the number two ranking official at the United Nations mission in Kabul. And Alex Thier, Director of Afghanistan and Pakistan at the U.S. Institute of Peace. Thanks so much to you both.